I want to share some scripture with you this morning from one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you would turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want to read just a few verses to begin with, beginning with verse 11. The Hebrew letter from the 8th chapter through the 10th chapter, in those three chapters of this book, begins to and gives a very in-depth contrast between the practices under the Old Testament law during the days of Moses, the days of the tabernacle, and what Christ did to fulfill all that was typified in those things. And in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11, it says, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" If we look on down in this same chapter, in verse 22, it tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And I'm going to stop reading there for now with verse 24. And the title of my message today will be "Bought by the Blood." And we are going to observe an ordinance today that the Lord didn't leave for everybody. He didn't leave this ordinance for the world. He didn't leave this ordinance to every inhabitant of the world. The Lord left this ordinance to be observed by his church. And so those of us today that have been blessed to be saved by God's grace and to have the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church, we are a purchased people. Amen. We have been bought. The word "redeemed," and I want you to keep this in mind. I want to talk about this in a little while, the Lord willing. But the word "redeemed" means to be bought back, to be purchased. And where the scriptures talk about that and talk about the fact that those who have been saved have been redeemed, that's exactly what it means, that we have been bought. And so I want us to think about that today, the fact that we have been bought, and also that which was used Tobias, because there had to be a price paid in order for us to be redeemed. Something had to be spent in order for you and I to be redeemed. And we use the terms a lot in our testimonies, in our preaching, in our songs. There's many, many songs that talk about the fact that salvation is free, and it is. It's free in that it doesn't cost you and I anything, and it's something that we can't purchase with money. But salvation is not free. There was a price that was paid in order for us to be able to be saved. If you if you that listen to the Voice of Baptist Truth, I want you to know that here in a few weeks you're going to hear a sermon. I recorded a sermon this week for the Voice of Baptist Truth on the blood of Christ. I believe that it's the only thing. I'm convinced that the blood of Christ is the only thing that is sufficient to wash away sin from a soul. It's the only thing that's capable of doing that. And so we have been bought with the blood. One of the elements that we are going to use today, and that we do use every time that we observe this sacred ordinance, one of the elements that we will use today is symbolic of that, of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for us to be saved. And we speak a lot about that. We hear testimonies about being washed in the blood, that the blood has been applied to my soul. We hear a lot of songs that have been written about the blood. And you know, it's not just, and we need to be sure that we understand this, it's not just the fact that Jesus Christ shed His blood for us, but that He died. He died. He shed His blood to the point that He died there on the cross for our sins. He gave up His life for us. The Bible says that that we, through His poverty, though He was rich, yet He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. And I want you to know something today, not monetarily, or not in houses or land or anything like that, but I do stand before you today rich because of what the Lord did for me. And those who are saved, you know, the world has it wrong. They've just got it wrong because they use the wrong standard. The wealthy of this world are those who are rich toward God. The world, they view the wealthy as those who own many material things, or have a lot of money, or have a lot of possessions. But Jesus taught us that it's not those who are rich in the wealth of this world that are the true prosperous people. It's those who are rich toward God. And so I'm thankful today that the Lord was willing to give His life, that He was willing to shed His blood. The Bible teaches us that the life of a person is in the blood. If you lose all your blood, you're not going to be able to live, are you? Your life will not be able to be sustained if you lose all your blood. And so I'm very thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to give His life's blood. One of the songs that we're accustomed to, One of the songs that we are used to singing, and Lord willing, I'll get to some scripture here in a moment. But one of the songs, you know, I've been hearing this song as far back as I can remember. Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? And I want you to think about that today. Are you washed in the blood? I'll tell you what, if you haven't been washed in the blood, then your sins have not been remitted. Without that, there is no remission of sin. And so you have got to be washed in the blood in order to be saved. A lot of people today think that you can be washed in the water, in the baptismal waters. But I'll tell you, the Bible teaches me that baptism does not literally wash away the sins from our soul. It is symbolic of it. It does it figuratively, but only the blood of Christ can wash away your sins. It seems that I rarely think about this subject without thinking about the fact that people have made, they've come up with all kinds of formulas to make things to clean up this type of stain and that type of stain. You know, you can go buy this product if you want to clean something off of your carpet, or you can buy this other product if you want to clean something off of your tile, or you can buy this product and it's safe to use on the paint of your car. And there's all different kinds of things that are made to clean up different types of stain. But listen, I want you to know that sin stains our very soul. If we could see what a soul actually looks like that is lost and in sin, we would see something there that's filthy. I mean, people don't like to look at things like that often, but when we are lost and without God, our soul is so stained by sin that it is filthy. It's filthy. There was a time in my life when my soul was stained black with sin. I mean, it was just filthy for the Lord to look at, and I'm thankful that He washed it. He washed it, and He made it clean. Have you ever bought something? Maybe a car or something like that. Have you ever gone and purchased something and you were so glad that you were able to have it, and so you took it home and the first thing you did with that was you cleaned it up. You tried to make it look as good as you could. You took that dirty car that you had bought and you took it home and you got the water hose out and you washed the dirt off of it and you cleaned it up and you made it shine. Well, that's what Jesus did for those who He has bought with His blood. He bought us with His blood, and He cleaned us up, and He washed us, and He made us look good. If you could see the soul, if we could visibly look at the soul of somebody that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'd see something there that's pure. That's why the stain of sin has been washed away. In the Old Testament, in these verses that we read about here in the Hebrew letter, it tells us about in Old Testament times, in the days of Moses, when God had instructed Moses to build the tabernacle and had told him how that the tabernacle was to be made, and had told him exactly how that the services of the tabernacle were to be carried out. You can read the 9th chapter of Hebrews here, and you can go to the first part of this chapter, and it will tell you the different pieces of furniture that were in the tabernacle. It will tell you what was in the first part of the tabernacle. It will tell you what was in the part of the tabernacle that is beyond the veil, known as the Holy of Holies. That was where the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant was, and the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and there above the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, where only the high priest was allowed to go in. Now, God had chosen a tribe out of Israel, the tribe of Levi, for the priesthood. And the Levitical priests were allowed to go into the first part of that tabernacle, and there were certain things that they were allowed to do. There was part of the service there at the tabernacle that they were to administer to and to have part in. But when it came to going in beyond the veil, only the high priest was allowed to go in. And I'll tell you what, only the high priest, only the true high priest, could go beyond that veil. And I'm talking about the true tabernacle, which the Bible tells us here is in heaven itself, not on the earth. The true tabernacle was not pitched by man, but it was in heaven itself. And the only one that could go in beyond that veil in heaven, into that holy, holy, holy place, and make the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice for sin, was the high priest. You read the third chapter of Hebrews, and it'll tell you that that was Jesus. He is our high priest. But they would take the blood of the bulls and the goats and the calves, and they would take it in there. They would take it to the high priest, and he would take that blood there into the Holy of Holies. And there he would offer up that blood as an atonement, not only for the sins of the people, but for his own sins. And this is something that they did year after year after year. It was something that they did on an annual basis. They would have to offer that blood up, and then they would have to come and offer it again and offer it again. And it was never intended for the blood of those animals to wash away our sins. I want you to know this. That when they, all the years that they made those animal sacrifices, and all the years that they observed that, and all the years that they took those the blood of those animals into the tabernacle, it wasn't something that failed and caused God to resort to another plan. It was never intended that that blood would take away people's sins. It was always for the purpose of showing the one that was going to come. That was its purpose from the very beginning, was to show him that was going to come into the world that would make the sacrifice, that would be suitable for us to be able to have our sins remitted. And so every time that they offered the blood of an animal there in the Holy of Holies, that's exactly what it was about. It was to show one day that Jesus would come and that he would shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And he did. He did come. Now, when he came, and we can find here in the last part of the ninth chapter of Hebrews, that when he came to do it one time. Now, remember what I said about what they had to do with the animals there under the law. They had to offer them year after year. The Bible says that with those sacrifices that they could never make the comers thereunto perfect. They could never perfect them with that blood. They could never have their sins remitted with that blood. They had to just continually show that year after year. But Christ appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord never has to do that again. Aren't you glad? I've said many times, and I can't I can't ever not think about it, it seems, when we sing that song about the next time he comes, that he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, he won't have to shed his blood. The next time he comes, he won't have to suffer on the cross. The next time he comes, he's not going to have to do what he did the first time that we're going to observe today and remember in this ordinance. The next time he comes, it's my understanding from my Bible that the next time he comes, he's not even going to set foot on this sinful earth. He's going to appear in the sky, and we're going to see him, and we're going to be raised from the dead. And those that are ready to meet him, those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, we're going to rise to meet him, children. We're going to meet him in the air, and we're going to go, and we're going to be with him forever. And I'll tell you what, if that won't give you gospel bumps, you need to pray. Amen. It excites me to think about that. To think about leaving this earth. Sometimes I think about, and I don't mean to sound, wimpy or anything like that. But sometimes I think about just leaving all the troubles behind. Leaving all the sorrows behind. Leaving all the heartaches of this life behind. Laying down the futile labors of this life and the things that trouble us, and rising up to meet the Lord in the air. That'll be a good day. Amen. But I'll tell you what, those that do, those that make that exodus, those that are lifted from this earth one day to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, to just sail away with him to heaven, to be with him forever and forever. I'll tell you what, friends, everyone that will be in that number will have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. There won't be any going that weren't. I want you to consider a few verses with me from Revelation, beginning in the first chapter. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Listen, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loved us. Friend today loved us. We can't understand that, can we? We were sinners. We were rebellious against the Lord. I mean, we weren't doing anything for him. We were lost and in our sins, and we had a rebellious spirit, but he loved us. And he shed his blood so that he could have a redeemed people. And when he redeemed us, he washed us in his blood. There was a time, and we read about a time in the seventh chapter of Revelation, when there were people there around the throne in heaven rejoicing. They were clothed in white robes. They had palms in their hands. Listen, I'm going to lay down these sinful garments one of these days. One of these days, I'm going to lay down this robe of flesh, this sinful flesh, and I'm going to put on new clothing. I'm going to get a brand new set of clothes. And they were rejoicing there with palms in their hands and wearing white robes. And the question was asked, who are these? And whence came they? And the answer was, these are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's who they are. Those who have been washed by the blood. When Jesus came, the Bible says that he came to be a ransom for our sins. A ransom. You know what a ransom is? It's money that's got to be paid to set somebody free. Somebody's being held hostage. Somebody's been kidnapped. They're being held against their will, and they are a hostage to someone else. And that someone is demanding that a ransom be paid in order for them to be set free. Well, Jesus paid our ransom. We were captive to sin. I mean, it had us in its evil grip, and there was no way for us to get out. No way for us to escape ourselves. No way for us to change ourselves. No way for us to clean ourselves up. I mean, our very souls were polluted with sin, and we needed a ransom. And, you know, when we think of this in the way of someone being kidnapped or something, they set an amount on that ransom. And you know what? That person, they may have enough to pay that, and they may not have enough to pay it. But I want you to know this. When Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, when he went into heaven, into the true tabernacle, there to appear in the presence of God, when he went before his heavenly Father to offer that blood up as the atonement for sin, he was able to say, Father, I have got enough here to purchase salvation for everybody. That will come to me. There's enough. There's enough. The price has been paid. Father, I have done the work that you sent me to do. I have made the sacrifice that you sent me to make. I've done it. I'm going to tell you something today that I don't believe. I've heard it said, but I just don't believe it. I don't believe the saying that when Jesus died on Calvary and shed his blood, that one drop of it was for me. I believe all his blood was shed for me. I believe all his blood was shed for you. All of it. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Today, we are here as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. We are here today to remember our Lord. He bought this church with his blood. Don't ever think it belongs to you, because it doesn't. It doesn't belong to you, and it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he bought it. He purchased it. Read the 20th chapter of Acts, verse 28. If you don't believe that, you'll find that he purchased the church with his own blood. You don't belong to yourself. And I'll tell you what, you know what? As Christian people, we need to get over that. We need to get away from this thought that we belong to ourselves, because we don't. We are a purchased possession. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You know what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthian church and said, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the same thing the Apostle Peter was talking about, the blood of Christ. We are bought by the blood. We are the Lord's purchased people. He's given us a beautiful ordinance. He left with us a beautiful ordinance for us to observe, that we might be able by this to remember him, to remember the one that came, to remember the one that suffered, to remember his broken body, to remember his shed blood, to show what? To show his death until he comes. That's what we do with this, folks. We show his death until he comes. Every time that we observe it, it is to be done in remembrance of him. It is to be, there is to be self-examination beforehand. It's to be done in remembrance of the Lord, that we would show what he did for us on Calvary until he comes. And I'm convinced from the 19th chapter of Revelation, I'm convinced that the Lord will always remind us through all eternity. When we're in heaven, there's going to be an eternal reminder that we were bought by the blood, brethren. Because you know what? John saw him there and said he was wearing a vesture, a robe, dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. And on his breastplate and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, people have different ideas of Jesus. They really do. But I'll tell you exactly what I believe about it from what I read from the scriptures. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus just the way that the disciples saw him on earth after his resurrection. I believe we're going to see the nail prints. I do. I believe he went to heaven with them, and he'll have them there, and we'll see them for all eternity. We will know what he did for us. We'll know. There'll be no question about what he did for us. So we are bought by the blood, and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask the deacons at this time, if they would, to come and prepare the table for the ordinance.